I want to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting. And for those that might not be aware of it, this is a 15-minute meeting, and I will, it's my desire to hold to that. So let's first begin by asking for help. Loving God and our Father, we just thank Thee that we can close out these wonderful 3 days of meetings that we've had together with, again, considering Thy love to Thy creature man. So much so that Thou would send Thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. And we thank Thee, blessed Lord, for the sacrifice of Thyself that was made at Calvary's cross, so that poor creatures as ourselves that have been drug under the weight of sin, that we can come and have redemption through the blood of Christ. We can have liberty and peace. So we just ask for Thy help as we look at Thy word for a few minutes. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I'm going to ask you again for the third time in the gospel meetings that have taken place at this conference to turn to Genesis 3. And our brother Ted, on Saturday night, he turned us to Genesis 3 and read a few verses. Brother Dave Harmon last night turned us to Genesis 3, and this was laid on my heart a while back when I was contacted about having this meeting, so I'm going to ask us to turn there again. And David and I were talking about this yesterday, and we were talking about, yeah, it's a little difficult when someone stands up ahead of you and they start reading and talking about the same verses you were going to talk about. And maybe you've never experienced that. I know you sisters probably haven't, but maybe some of you brothers have. But I like what he said to me. He said, well, if the Lord lays it on your heart to say the same thing I said, that's fine. And, you know, I got to thinking, it is like our God, isn't it, to establish things in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's a principle in the Word of God. So if I repeat some of what has already been repeated, then that's okay, because I've asked the Lord to just help me to say what He's given me to say. So I just want to look at, you know, there's some very searching, exercising, and powerful questions in the Word of God. And I just want to look at some of those. And I want to look at some of those that have come from the lips of God Himself. And so, dear one, tonight, if you're in this room and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I want to direct these comments in these first few questions that we're going to look at coming from the mouth of God. I want to direct them to you, to your conscience. And the first one is in Genesis chapter 3, and we know the story of the fall of man, how Satan tempts Eve, and they fall, and they sin against God, and they hide themselves because now they have a conscience that says that they've done wrong, and they've disobeyed. And this is the question that I want you to think about this evening. The end of verse 9, three words. Where art thou? Or we could say it in our language today, where are you? Well, I'm not just saying, where are you physically sitting? I'm asking you, where are you in relation to this question of your sins? Where are you in relation to the demands that God is making, that and the pronouncement because of sin that the soul that sinneth it shall die? Where are you concerning that question? You know, that's a solemn thing to think about. Think about a holy and a righteous God and a voice from heaven coming to your heart and saying, where are you? It's a serious thing, isn't it? That question from God, it proves at least two things, doesn't it? It proves that man was lost and that God was seeking him. Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful to think in that question. God is telling us, you are lost, but I'm seeking you. And so what a wonderful message we have tonight that, yes, even though you have sinned, and you have, God is seeking you, and he wants you, because God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wants your companionship. He wants your fellowship. I'll just tell one real short story about my grandson because it touches my heart. He's 2.5, and he's starting to string words together into sentences, and he'll say something like, he calls me Gampa, and calls my wife Gamma, something like that. And he'll say, we'll say, what do you want to do? And he'll say, hide and seek. So translation is, Grandpa, let's play hide and go seek. So we'll tell him to go hide. And then we'll say, okay, ready or not, here we come, where are you? And he'll say, there'll be a very short silence, and he'll say, he'll make a noise, like, he'll hide, but then he'll make a noise, like, huh? So, like, revealing where he's at. Or he'll say, right here. So, and he'll stand up from where he's hiding. And what makes me, touches my heart about it is, he doesn't really want to hide. He wants to be with us. He's playing the game, but he doesn't want it to last very long. He doesn't want to stay in that condition of being hidden from us, because he wants to have fellowship with us. And you know, dear ones, I can't help but believe that there's a longing in every human heart that wants to have fellowship with God. And it's only the enemy of our souls, it's only Satan that would keep a soul from not desiring that. So if you are in your seat this evening and you are hiding from God, don't keep hiding. Just come to him, or acknowledge your need. God wants your company. Okay, let's go to the next one, just a chapter over, in chapter 4 of Genesis. And down in verse 10, God is speaking again. And this is what he asks. This is his question. What hast thou done? We know the story concerning Cain and Abel, how Abel in jealousy and hatred rises up and he takes the life of his brother. He kills his brother. Or Cain does, kills Abel. And God comes to Cain and he says, what hast thou done? I want to ask you this afternoon, if you're without the Lord, if you're still in your sins, I want this question to burn into your conscience, your heart. Just picture again, if you will, a voice from heaven saying to you, to your heart, what have you done? Well, what have you done? You have sinned. Maybe you haven't killed anyone, but you have sinned. And that sin is separating you from a holy and a righteous God. Don't try and deny it. Don't try and make excuse for it. Just acknowledge it. That's the only way for blessing, is to acknowledge that you are a sinner. And okay, so let's go to the New Testament now, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. So we have this situation where God, as we had in these meetings, everything that he created in his creation initially was very good. It says that, doesn't it, at the end of that, the second chapter, I believe it is, or the first chapter of Genesis. God looked at it and he saw that it was very good. Sin comes in and spoils all of that. And man is put at a distance from God. Man tries to hide. Man tries to deny what he's done. He doesn't want to face the reality of the fact that he has sinned against a holy God. God looks at his creation spoiled. And this question is raised. The Lord is speaking here, and he's telling a parable in Luke 20, and I'm not going to read through it, but it's the parable of the man that plants a vineyard, and he has servants that are taking care of it, and it comes time for him to receive of the fruits of his vineyard, and he sends those to receive it, and they're treated shamefully. And so it says that finally, after he sent servant after servant, we have this question here. This, again, a question from the mouth of God. He says in verse 13, "What shall I do?" And so we could trace through man's dealings with his creature, or God's dealings with his creature, man, how he has dealt with him in various ways and sent prophets to them and so on, to try and recall their hearts and draw them to himself, and they're shamefully treated. So what does he do? He says, "What shall I do?" Couple that with another question in Deuteronomy 6, I think it is, where he says, "Who will go for us? What shall I do? Who will go for us? Or whom shall I send?" I'm sorry. "What shall I do?" You know, it's touching to me that God looks over his creation and he raises this question. "What shall I do? Whom shall I send?" Well, we know the story, don't we? What could he do? It says here, "I will send my beloved son." Picture of the Lord Jesus. "It may be they will reverence him when they see him, but when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.'" So he sends his beloved son, and what do? They take him, and they nail him to a cross. But oh, and God gains the victory, because in that work of Calvary's cross, the blessing can finally flow out to you and I. God can now bring us into relationship with himself through the work of his Son. So what a wonderful thing that has taken place there at Calvary's cross. It's the only way, dear one, tonight, that you can have salvation, is through the finished work of Calvary's cross. I want to look at one more question that, again, it comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6. And I want to speak now, as we close this meeting, to those of us that know the Lord, that have accepted the Lord as their Savior. We've heard a lot in these meetings about pressing on. Our brother Bruce, I want to echo what he said. We need to press on. We need to continue on. And so the Lord had been speaking to those around him, and he says in verse 65, Therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, and this is the question that I want to leave with us this afternoon as we close out this meeting. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Just picture, if you can, in your mind, the Lord Jesus standing before you and saying, "Are you going to leave me also?" And perhaps there's that thought in some of our hearts, is it worth it? Am I going to go on? Well, I want us to just think about that, the Lord Jesus standing before us. And for us, if he were standing before us and we could see his wounds in his hands and his feet and hear him say, "Will ye also go away?" What effect would it have on our hearts? May the Lord encourage us. Again, I would make that earnest plea to anyone that's not the Lord's. Don't put it off. Don't continue to try and hide or deny the fact that you are an undone sinner before God. Just come to him in simple faith and be saved. And for those of us that know him, may he encourage us to continue on the little while that we're left here. Let's just pray. Loving God and our Father, we again thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel, and we pray for anyone. Maybe there's a child that's the age of responsibility that needs the Savior. We pray for them. We pray for a young person, perhaps even an older one, our Father, that has never made that decision. We just ask that thou would come in thy mercies and work in their hearts, that they might come to thee. So we just give thanks for this time we've had together. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.